Gabe wrong for trying to say I'm going to go long. None of y'all believe that, do you? Oh, the only people that don't believe it is people that haven't heard me preach, I suppose. I won't do it to you today. I'm running on like 5 hours of sleep after that wedding yesterday. So I'm just saying, brace yourself, because it's going to be good. But before we get started, so wanted to give a little shout out. So my Uncle Jared is here, not with his church. I guess we spilled already this morning, but not with his church. And he was the wedding planner with his wife, Tiffany. And they told everybody what to do yesterday, even when they didn't want to hear it, probably. But it was good. We're thankful that you guys are here. And it was a great wedding yesterday. We're glad that those two are off. And they took my Bible home with them last night. Obviously, didn't go interrupt them yesterday, but we improvised. It was great. Thank you for all of you that helped make it special for them. I can't help but just, weddings are such an exhausting thing, really. Nobody, amen? They're exhausting, okay? And they just bring out just weird things. You know, people do weird things. They start, over-assuming or under-assuming, and everybody's got opinions. Can you believe that? Y'all can't believe that nobody has opinions. They got a lot of opinions. But, you know, it's so interesting to me because you get all that excitement, you know, for the wedding day, and you just get all this lovey-dovey activities. And if you've been married for a long time, some of it you're like, oh, my gosh, right? Right? Yes, because I think Will said in the guys group, I think he said multiple times, if we were like, he's like, Ruthie will not like that. She will not like that. And I'm like, I don't give one rat's what that girl likes. That's how that feels, right? And that's just true. I just don't. In fact, I didn't give one rat's what he thought either. So it was a double whammy. But I'm like, some of that, which in a practical sense, it's sweet and like it's good to just like keep the romance and like do all the things. But it made me think about just how normal some things in life get. And it just kind of is normal. And I've just been feeling that even just with our relationship with Christ. Like that just like, I want to be near you all the time kind of vibe. I got a guy at work right now that I swear if I do not let him eat lunch with his wife every day, they're newlyweds. If they don't get to eat lunch at the same time every day, we fall apart. And what I tell him, just like I told Will, I don't give one rat's what that girl thinks. Okay? It's going to be fine. But my point is, like, just is that true for us in our relationship with Christ? Do, like, as I come here today, is there a sense of I am in love with Jesus Christ? I am in love with my Savior because of what He's done, because of what He's doing, because of what He's promised to do. I always get caught up on the words of songs because we come in and all hail King Jesus. And then I do this to myself. And if you've heard me preach before, this is just how I preach, is I'm really talking to myself. I'm always telling myself. And so I think while I'm saying that out, all hail King Jesus, is that true inside of me? Is what inside of me truly bowing down before my Creator in awe and in just, I mean, even to sing of the goodness of God. That I'm going to surrender everything to Him, right? Surely if there was some fact check this morning, there's probably some things we haven't given up and we haven't given to Him, right? That's just the reality. But that's on my mind this morning. There's a lot of things on my mind this morning. So the good news is you won't fall asleep because I'll just be in a lot of places. And if I just start telling you something that's unrelated, that's Okay. That sound good? Okay, let's do it, baby. Let's go. Okay, Luke, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And just as you're going there, another verse that has just been on my mind over the last week in 1 Corinthians 14. There's a little moment as he's talking about just church order and things like that. But it's just talking about, you know, as someone is declaring the word of God, that someone would be receiving that and hearing it. And it says in verse 25, the secrets of his heart will be disclosed and he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among us. And I don't know about you, but I want that consistently for us. Like, I want us to sense God's presence and that it causes us to do, right? It causes us to respond. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. It's going to be really fun. And I'm using a Bible that has really little words. It's going to be great. If I have to get glasses, I'm just going to mourn and grieve up here. But it is very possible because I'm getting old. Okay, so let's read. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll kind of jump into it together. So starting in verse 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we just are thankful to be in this place. Lord, we're thankful for breath in our lungs, the ability to gather this morning, and we're thankful for your word. Lord, we know that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, that you would reveal what is in our heart. Lord, you would draw us closer to you. You would shower us with the grace and mercy that we need in order to press on this journey. Lord, we love you again. We just surrender our time of worship over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to jump in here, and really we're just going to kind of work down these scriptures together and give you a little context and then kind of go back and forth on a few things. So starting in verse 1, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered. So at this point, you have all these folks. In chapter 11, you have Jesus interacting with the Pharisees, and you have really pointed conversations, calling them out, addressing them, really frustrating them, them telling Jesus, like, hey, you've really just kind of hurt us with that. So Jesus is kind of laying it all out. There's a big crowd. There's people in that crowd that are supportive of the Pharisees that are like, you can't be talking to these people the way you're talking to them. And so again, it says under these circumstances. And so that's kind of the general vibe. And you have thousands of people. It even goes on to tell us that they're stepping on each other, which for whatever context other than just that they're stepping on each other, right? So they're excited to be there or want to be involved in the drama. And Jesus initially is going to speak to his disciples, to those that are following him, to those that are sticking near him. And so that's where we pick up. It says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And I want us to stop there because I used to read, like in Matthew 23, where Jesus is, I mean, he's wearing those Pharisees out. Have y'all seen like the reenactments of that? And he's just like laying into those guys. And I mean, pointed. And I remember even just, you know, as a younger person reading it and being like, get them. Yes. If you know me, you know, like, that's already my vibe. Okay. My vibe is like, yes, tell them exactly what they need to hear. But I mean, it just, you read down it and you're like, oh, yes. How does that feel? How does that feel? Like, that is so real and raw. And then there just has to be a moment where sometimes it's like, I don't know, that kind of hurts. And boy, do I hope that ain't me. Right? Like, I mean, that's a real deal. And so this, he says to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and that is their hypocrisy. Ultimately, hypocrisy or being a hypocrite is really just acting. It's pretending to be something. In a spiritual context, it's I'm pretending to be spiritual. I'm pretending to love God, to follow him. I'm putting on a show. I've even put on, I mean, as Jesus would point out, their phylacteries, I mean, they would like enlarge in them. So what they would do is actually wear a box on their head. And it was to take literal an instruction about the word of God. But they would make it really big and they would wander around and it was to make themselves look good. Now, we don't do that today. Right? You don't see nobody wearing a box on their head. Right? Does it still happen? Yeah, it still happens. Or is there a sense that there is hypocrisy in our midst sometimes? Yeah. The scary part is that, just like what he's saying with the leaven of the Pharisees, it spreads. Just a little bit of that in our midst right here will go far. Just a little bit of that. So just a little bit of showing up for church, and I'm just doing it to pretend, will do a number on this body. So one person showing up in the group, going to the home group, going to the things, really with the purpose of just pretending, will mess with the whole, right? It will mess with the whole. And he's warning even his disciples, like, watch out for this. Because if this creeps inside of you and you get this sense of, I can just say but not do, something's going to be wrong. And it's going to be wrong real fast. Right? What are some of those things? Look in Matthew 23. Just skip over there. I told you I'm going to make you guys move around. We're just going to read some of these about the Pharisees real quick. In chapter 23, verse 1, it starts with, "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. He says, 'The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses.'" So what did they already want to do by sitting there? They wanted influence. They wanted status. They wanted to be in this place. And it says, "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe." Which starts off really nice. "But don't do according to their deeds, for they say things and they don't do them." again, for me, I reflect on how many things am I even just telling my own child? How many things am I telling my child to do that I do not do? I'm going to tell you there's a lot. Okay? Eat your food before eating dessert. I break that rule. Okay? Oh, I don't need that. Do as they say, not as they do. Is that said of any of us in this room? Could it be said of us? Could Jesus stand up here and say, listen to the rest of the crowd, listen, there's somebody here, do as they say. They know all the right words. They will tell you and they will sing and they will do the things. Yes, but don't do what they do because they ain't doing it. Is that harsh? I feel like it's because we just need that. We need that. Like, we live in a time in our, and Christianity is just kind of become so cultural that everyone just kind of does church. I mean, everyone just does church. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, yeah. And yet, we don't do anything that resembles that. Our life does not actually reflect that. Or, to me, possibly even more concerning, is he says, beware of their hypocrisy. So it's more on the end of, you know, they're doing the opposite, right? Ultimately, they're pretending, but they're doing the opposite. I feel like there's a middle ground, which is I actually just kind of am complacently doing nothing. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm just really kind of not doing anything. And I don't know which is scarier for just the Christian church today. I don't know which one. Is it hypocrisy or just flat complacency? I don't know. I'm kind of scared of both, to be honest. And I want us to be scared of both to some degree in our own hearts. That, Lord, may this just not be true of me. Listen to verse 4 and then we'll go back to get back on track because y'all know I'm already off track. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. They do all their deeds to be noticed by men. They love the place of honor. I mean, there's even a point where he said in verse 15, it says, you've gone around and you've traveled and you've made these essentially these disciples and you've made them a child of hell like yourself. Like you are in fact teaching them and bringing them up in the actual opposite way. And yet you just have a following of people. Go back to Luke 12. I promise we'll probably be back there. That's just the truth of that matter. But this hypocrisy again is again. The leaven of the Pharisees is mentioned often, this idea that it would spread. This hypocrisy would spread among the people and be very, very impactful. And so even just the warning there. But Jesus goes on to say in verse 2, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and nothing hidden that will not be known. I used to read this and even verse 3, where it says, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. Whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I think there's likely even a moment where probably in youth group, I use that to tell the people, like, listen, everything you're doing is going to be revealed. Everything you overhear whispering about is going to be just put on display, right? And if you read it in just a little bit more just context, Jesus is, again, still talking to his disciples. So he's warned them about the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. Thousands of people are around them. You have this sense of like, well, we're way outnumbered, right? So there's a measure of even the disciples who are feeling just the pressure of the moment. And yet Jesus kind of pauses to assure them, not necessarily to scare them for themselves, but to more so assure them, nothing covered up will be hidden, right? So from the disciples' perspective, it's actually really encouraging. So the hypocrisy of the Pharisees will be exposed. That's the encouragement, right? The hypocrisy of the Pharisees that's widespread, that's happening, it will be exposed. In its time, nothing will be hidden, nothing will be concealed, right? And so that's the measure of encouragement that Jesus is giving to them. I equally pause to receive this on the opposite end and remind myself, in my life, there is nothing hidden. Just truly, there is nothing that God does not know right now. So I take you back to just like, well, do we come in? Do we play church? Do we whatever? Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, we sit here and we're like, no, I don't play church. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm serious. And well, God knows. It ain't a question. Like, he already knows. So the truth of that is that it's just laid bare, right? All information about us, about the Pharisees, about all the things is known. And it will come out. Right? And so there's that encouragement on that Jesus is giving to them, like, hey, listen, their moment is going to come. The truth is going to come out. So we get to verse 3, and it says, whatever you've said, this is what I was telling you. I tell the students, I'm like, I think I even told them one time, imagine if all that you thought and said was just on a billboard and just, you know, they all freak out because that's devastating because they're probably saying crazy things even while I was talking, okay? But if you flip to Matthew 10, don't kill me. Verse 26, therefore, Jesus is talking, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or nothing hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. So Jesus is not just from my perspective of just like, oh, you're going to be exposed. No, Jesus is doubling down on the encouragement to them. Hey, listen, their stuff is going to be exposed. And at the same time, all the truth that I have been telling you will be declared publicly by you, right? It will be put on display. This sense of confidence in what they've been doing, they're hearing that, yes, not only on the side of like total accountability will it be exposed, but all these things that you are storing up in your heart that I am speaking to you, you will speak forth. He goes on to say, do not fear those who will kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so again, back to Luke 12, you have this encouragement, but at the same time, for those of us in the room, just the measure of reality that we are laid bare before God. There is nothing that we are going to continue to pretend or hide. It's just not a reality. So in verse 4, he goes on to say, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. Now, like a sense of security is like a focal need for humans, right? Like we need a sense of security in our life. We need to feel safe. Children thrive when they are in a safe environment, right? We know that to be true. And you have Jesus here encouraging the disciples that ultimately what man can do to you is just irrelevant in comparison to who God is, right? In comparison to who God is and what God is capable of, man hurting you physically is minor. Now, for the rest of us, I mean, we hear stories every day. I love crime podcasts, probably shouldn't, but I do love crime podcasts, okay? April over here, she got me in it. But, I mean, the things people do to each other is just awful. It's awful. I mean, not even, was it 2 days ago that there was a road rage incident here in Hickory Creek and some guy shot some lady like 10 times or at least shot at the car 10 times over what? A lane change? I don't know. I mean, but I mean, so there is a measure of like, we all understand being afraid or worried about what another human could do to someone we love or ourselves or whatever. And we take action to kind of mitigate that, or we think about it and we let it, make us change plans or do whatever. And I, just as Jesus is telling them this, it's so encouraging to me. I mean, on one hand, you're like, well, I don't want to be physically hurt. Do y'all agree? Ain't nobody trying to be physically hurt, right? But he's telling them, don't worry about that. Worry about your Creator, who, by the way, if you are not aligned with your Creator, he's the one to be feared. I mean, if there is someone to be feared, it's God. And there's kind of two ends of that, right? There is a reverence and an awe that leads to a right fear of God. For those of us who are believers, we have a right sense and an appropriate fear of who God is, right? And if I do not know God, if I have no relationship with God, Almighty God is to be feared. It's just true. He is to be feared. And I just can't help but wonder, I mean, if even just a reverence and an awe for who God is as believers, what is that changing in our lives every day? What is it changing? If it's changing nothing, that's concerning. It would have to be, right? It would just have to be. Let's just take the hypocrisy that we all agree can creep into the church. I mean, goodness, the fear of God's knowledge of that should just like have me shaken. Right? And yet, I mean, we'll be afraid of all sorts of things. We'll be afraid. I mean, I don't do spiders. I don't want to see a spider. I don't want to touch a spider. I don't want to do none of that. And there's tarantulas out here, I'm telling you right now. I've seen them out there. And people will do more to avoid a spider than give one care what God thinks or sees. You see what I'm saying? That don't make no sense. Oh, we got all the security system in our house. Oh, I got 15 cameras around the house. I see everybody's movement. And you ain't prayed in 4 months. Right? I mean, I'm saying we'll do all these intense things to keep us safe and to protect us. And then we just go on sinning. We go on gossiping about everybody. We go on talking about everybody. And the fear of God is just last on the list. And that matters in the body. Okay? So some of you may be like, no, that's not me. I fear God. Okay, yes, go on with you. Okay? But only one in our midst, in our community who decides the fear of God is kind of way back here, matters. It matters to our health as a church, as a body. I want to read to you a quote. It's a Spurgeon quote. It just says, "The fear of God is the death of every other fear." The fear of God is the death of every other fear. And again, it's just, to me, it's that really just restructuring of what matters most, right? The fear of God in my life and understanding who He is, how powerful He is, what He's done, what He's capable of doing, then resets all these other things in my life, right? Just like when we think about worry and anxiety, which kind of even comes up in a minute. If I know that ultimately God is the most powerful, most feared being in existence, and He calls me His own, is that not helpful? Is it not change something? Does it not give me a sense of confidence and hope in the midst of chaos, in the midst of things not being right? I hope it does. So He tells them, ultimately, yes, that's who you should fear. Don't be fearing the Pharisees. Don't fear the people. Don't fear so-and-so. Don't. Fear God. And then He shifts. In verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. I feel like all the time, Jesus, and even just like as we read scripture, I feel like sometimes it's just intense and then it's like corrective and then it's like, I love you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you guys did everything wrong, but I love you. Right? I mean, that's what we're singing about. Is like, He's faithful, I'm not. We go back to the wedding, you know, reality. Like, 2 broken adults and like, you just ain't perfect all the time. And yet you come back, you love each other, you love each other, you love each other. That's even imperfect. In God's version, like, I show up to wedding day not all looking pretty. I look nasty. Ruthie looked nasty after she cried a little bit. But they prettied her back up. Because that's what you do. But before God, there's no prettying up. If it's not for Christ, there's no prettying up. You showed up, and He still said yes to you, and you look nasty. Oh, Lord. Is that for me? Y'all know I can yell anyways. Did it go off? Ooh, y'all in trouble now. That's fine. It's because I yelled too much.
Because they showed up nasty to the wedding day. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Is that better? Don't act like you couldn't hear me. But I'm saying that it goes from like, you did nothing I asked of you, and yet I love you. You have earned nothing, and yet I sent my son to die in your place. And I even know that after I sent him to die in your place, you will have conjured up that still you know better. Still, your way is more enjoyable. A week ago, we were talking to the kids about when Israel wanted a king. And they wanted a king not because that was necessarily just spiritually what they needed. It was because the other people had kings. And so they list out, he lists out to them all the consequences of having their own king. And it's like brutal. It's like, your sons will die in the war. You will lose all your crops. You will lose this. You will. I mean, it's just a laundry list of how bad it will be. And what did they do? They said, but we want a king. Did you not hear me? We want a king. And you know what God said? Give them a king. And when you come back to me and say that didn't go well, sorry. Right? I mean, and so throughout Scripture, it's like, gosh, you're horrible. I love you. Look at this. He says to them, are not five sparrows, this is just along the encouragement for them, but are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, yet not one of them is forgotten before God. And then if you go over to look at verse 24. Move over just a little bit. It says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. The hypocrite of me is still considered more valuable than birds. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? Consider the lilies, how they grow and they neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. If God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? Back to verse 7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than sparrows. We do not deserve that. You hear me? If you leave and you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. I do deserve that. Let's have a lunch meeting or something, because I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. And I'll bring along somebody that knows you well, and they're going to tell you the same thing. Okay? It's just not, we just don't. We do not. And if I allow myself to go day in and day out, and I kind of just have decided that I'm like just kind of okay enough, and that I'll make it, like I've received salvation, and, you know, I'm missing so much. I am missing out on so much. And I would even say I'm going to start bordering on that hypocrisy, because again, although, I mean, I've been called a hypocrite before, right out front. I don't know if they were right or not. They may have been, because it was something about me saying you shouldn't say certain words to people and talk mean to them. And I guess they felt like I had talked mean to people before, which is probably true. You feel me? So, like, reminding ourselves that I need Jesus in my life to function day in and day out is critical. Because the second I start to do, I do it all the time. I start to think, I'll be fine, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. I keep going. We're very capable, by the way. Y'all see that wedding that just got pulled off? People are capable. Okay? We are capable of doing so many things. But we desperately need him in our life. Desperately. Our church desperately needs a longing for Christ to show up. We need that. We need to show up on Sunday and it be like, well, not only I want to receive, but how many times is it true? I'm going to tell you, actually, are there visitors up in here today? Just trying to decide what I'm going to say. There was, actually, Caroline knew him. There was a gentleman that came a couple weeks ago. He walked in the doors. He went down the hall. I think he even came in the worship center. Is that right? He came in the worship center, and within like 5 minutes, he left. Now, I don't know why. It could be for any, I have no idea. But all I thought about, and I asked Caroline multiple times, did anyone talk to him? Did anyone talk? I'm not, Kevin probably did, because Kevin talked to everybody. Okay? But I'm saying, like, I say that to say we desperately just need to, like, as we show up, it's not like, oh, I'm showing up because I've got to do the things, and then I'm going to leave. No, we need to show up. When we pull on the property, Lord, I'm hoping he come show up today, because I need it. And I want to be ready to minister to someone else that's here today. And I don't know if that's always the vibe. You know, I don't know. I feel like sometimes the vibe is like, I showed up and then I'm going to be the first one out, because I always miss talking to some of you people because you get out of here too fast. I like to linger. My wife tells me, you need to hurry. Okay? But I'm saying, you feel what I'm saying? Okay. I'm just making sure you're following. I'm trying to think of what else I got to tell you. Because, don't be laughing. If our church is going to be used by God to reach the community that we are in, it's going to have to just be authentic, real, raw. It's going to have to be like, I need the Lord to show up today. It's going to have to be that. Or we'll just all keep trekking along until we all go to each other's funerals. And I'm just saying, the Lord got more for us. He really does. If we are breathing this morning, he's got things for us. Fight, fight, fight for authenticity. Apart from it, you will be a hypocrite. If you don't fight to be authentic, you will find yourself being a hypocrite, faking. Be authentic. Right? Fear God. Fear him. Stand in awe of him. long for that to be true for those around you, for those that haven't even come to our church before. Know the reality that they are walking a journey without the grace and mercy of God. So they are quite literally on the verge of the wrath of God on their life. And you know the truth of the gospel message that Jesus loves them and died for them and wants relationship with them. And know that you matter. You matter to God. And we wouldn't have it written so clearly if we didn't need to hear it. And some of us, we're very confident in ourselves. We feel a lot of self-worth. But I'm telling you, you still need to hear it. That Creator God of the universe knows the hairs on your head. And for all you bald folk, he still knows all them little things, follicles or something. He still knows all of them. Every bit of you he knows. And the fact that he still wants relationship with us blows my mind. And it better blow your mind every day. Because in that, our love for Christ grows, our love for people will grow, and I believe we will see our church be used in a mighty way if those things are true of us. Okay? Let me pray.